Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you have questions related to what you hear today, or just want to find out more about the ministries at First United Methodist Church, please visit us online at fumcbentonville.org, or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok.
Hey, I want to offer my greetings as well as Pastor Michelle. I'm Ray Wheeler. I'm blessed to be the associate pastor here at FUMC Bentonville. And we hope that in this space you feel welcomed and celebrated and loved this morning. I really love Palm Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays. I used to have a friend, if there was something really big and sprawling, he'd say, that looks like 5 pounds of Jell-O in a 10-pound bowl. And for me, Palm Sunday's kind of like that. You know, we've got the donkey, we've got the palms, we're shouting. It's a wonderful Sunday and a great celebration. My favorite story of Palm Sunday, my wife told me this story. So her daughter, my bonus daughter, Kaylee, she was between 3 and 4. It was her first time to come down the aisle and do the palms. And so they give her instructions. She's a scientist, so she's very, going to follow these instructions. They tell her to wave the palm branch, shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so she goes down the aisle and dutifully does it. And after church, she came up to Pam and she said, Mom, why did they have us shout lasagna, lasagna while we were going down the aisle? So there's a little something lost in the translation there, I think, for her. If you're comfortable doing this, let me just invite you to close your eyes and take some deep and centering breaths, and let's invite the Holy Spirit into our worship. Holy God, open our minds and our hearts this morning to your presence and lead us to a place that is close to your love and care. We pray this in all your holy names. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew. It's actually 26, verse 14 through 25. Listen for the word of God. Then one of the 12, who is called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I turn Jesus over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for a way to turn him in. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, where do you want us to prepare to eat the Passover meal? And he replied, go into the city to a certain man. The teacher says, my time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. The disciples did just as Jesus instructed them. They prepared the Passover. That evening, he took his place at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, I assure you that one of you will betray me. Deeply saddened, each one said to him, am I the one, Lord? Is it me? And he replied, the one who will betray me is the one who dips his hand with me into this bowl. The human one goes to his death just as it is written about him, but how terrible it is for that person who betrays the human one. It would have been better if he had never been born. Now Judas, who would betray him, replied, it's not me, is it, Rabbi? Jesus said, you said it. While Jesus is still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came with him with a large crowd carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given them a sign, arrest the man I kiss. Then he came to Jesus, hello, Rabbi, and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. We've made a mistake here this morning. This is the wrong story. We need the story of the joyful parade. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a humble donkey. We had a live donkey here. Did you see the donkey? And we were all shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Pastor Ray, you have made a mistake. You just read the story of evil Judas and his betrayal with a kiss. But beloved, I really think this is the right story to tell on Palm Sunday. This is a Sunday of foolish and risky love. Many of these mouths that today shout Hosanna in our scripture will soon shout, crucify him! Give us Barabbas! We always pretend, don't we, on Palm Sunday. On this Sunday, we always act like we are extras in a happy ending scene in a movie. But we know what is coming this week. Judas is a shadow behind this parade. And these hosannas are in reality a voice of betrayal. Jesus also knew the end of the story when it started. He wasn't fooled by this adoration of the crowds. His disciples tried to talk him out of going to Jerusalem, but Christ set his face and went to Jerusalem and to a cross. He knew this crowd would turn on him, and yet he loved them. This is foolish, risky love. Christ knows in that moment that they mean those praises they express, and yet he knows they will betray him. And still, he loves them. And yes, I believe Jesus loved Judas. Jesus had called Judas and traveled with him and broken bread with him. And Christ even shares his last meal with him. Knowing Judas will betray him, Christ still loves him. As the Bible says, if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? Therefore, your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone. So also you must be complete. Foolish love is risky. Loving people, holding them close, is risky. Christ knows all of his disciples will betray him. Christ even gives Peter a spoiler before the cock crows. And yet Christ loves Peter. Feed my sheep. Christ tells him that in the end. Is this foolish, risky love just for Jesus? Are we also called to show foolish and risky love? Can we show love even when it might be dangerous? That's a difficult question, and it is one I pray we never have to answer. Now, I do want to be clear that I'm not talking about staying in an abusive relationship. Pastor Michelle made this point a few weeks ago in her sermon on Foolish Love Forgives. In the case of an abusive or hurtful relationship, sometimes the most loving thing to do is to forgive and leave. Don't stay in that temptation. So what am I talking about? Well, let me give you a few examples from history of folks who have had to take this risk for love. On Good Friday, April 12, 1963, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was arrested in Birmingham, Alabama. King went there for a nonviolent protest against segregation in the city. He went on Good Friday because they were doing the protest around Easter. It was a great shopping day, but they wanted people to know this segregation was hurting their community. And they wanted to do it at a time when there'd be a lot of shoppers. King knew he would be arrested. And he also knew that his organization, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, was out of money for bail. And he and his leaders talked about this. Should I go to Birmingham? Should I be arrested? Knowing they would almost certainly be arrested and they wouldn't have any money to go bail. He would sit in jail. And Dr. King said, this is the right thing to do. He told the leadership council, I don't know where the money will come from, but I have to act on faith. While in solitary confinement, King penned his now famous letter from a Birmingham jail in the margins of the Birmingham News. That's risky love. Another example is the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you may have read about Dietrich Bonhoeffer from the first days of the Nazi ascension to power in 1933. Bonhoeffer was involved in protests against the Nazi regime, especially the Nazi Party's anti-Semitism. He became a leading spokesman for the Confessing Church, the center of the German Protestant resistance to the Nazis. Bonhoeffer was eventually jailed for his resistance, where he continued to write and work as best he could, and he was executed on April 9th, 1945. It's risky love. These are examples of foolish love working against an unjust state power. And when we believe laws are unjust, we have an obligation to resist those unjust strictures. Hopefully, our resistance to laws or policies that are unjust can come in the form of casting a vote or signing a petition for a ballot initiative, or knocking on doors for a candidate that you believe will govern wisely. The American philosopher Cornel West said, "Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public." Risky love. One of our vows of membership in the United Methodist Church asks us, "Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression?" In this negative act of resistance, there's a space there where we hold those we love for whom we're fighting. And that's true. But can we bless those who curse us? That's a risky game. But this is what Christ is calling us to do, this foolish, risky love. Perhaps some of us can think of a hater in their lives, or an enemy, or a hassler, if you will. We may think, okay, Christ, you just wouldn't understand how many nasty haters there can be in the internet age. There's an ocean of cruelty out there. How can we love in this time when literally the entire world can turn hate on us? It's just best not to respond. Let's unfriend or unfollow. It's too much risk, and that may be true. But I can think of one exception to this rule of unfriending and unfollowing, or sending a tweet or a message that is cruel to have a put-down of those people that are hating you on the internet. The comedian Sarah Silverman has used her personal Twitter feed not to ruthlessly put down other people who send her hateful messages, but rather she's worked to offer kindness to those who send hateful messages to her on social media. A most famous example of this was when Silverman reached out to a San Antonio man named Jeremy Jamrazzi. He'd sent her these hate-filled tweets, and instead of ignoring Jamrazzi or responding with a hateful message, Silverman decided to try and befriend him instead. In a magazine interview, Sarah was quoted, "I was walking my dog and I happened to see his tweet. And then I looked at his timeline. It was just all racial slurs. And then there was one message he sent that said, 'I have severe back pain.'" She immediately messaged back and said, "You're in a lot of pain." Risky love. Jamrazzi said of the encounter, "She disarmed me. She put me in a more spiritual place somehow." And they connected. And once they'd connected, Silverman helped him with his extensive medical bills, and she sent him resistance bands to help with his back pain. And to this day, they are still friends, and they message one another every day. This is a beautiful example of risky love. Now, where does this leave us in this messy, liminal space? We're kind of stuck between a parade and a betrayal. Beloved, I know so many of you want this to be a space of kindness, acceptance, and inclusion. But we know this kind of love is risky and can lead to uncomfortable places. And I, for one, try to avoid the uncomfortable places. Love, we know, is always a risk. Like our Palm Sunday parade this morning, rejection and loss could be waiting behind every celebration. We know that we may not be successful when we try an outreach to our enemy. We don't know, for instance, how many people sent back a hateful message to Sarah Silverman. We know the one good thing, but we don't know how many times that happened. It's not really in our control to know how someone else will respond to our offer of love and friendship. That's their choice. All we can do is what Christ asks us to do. Offer gifts of kindness, even to those who hate us. Beloved, we have been offered the gift of the great love of Christ. And our response to that gift can only be to offer that to others, even to our enemies, even when it's risky, and maybe especially when it's risky. Glory to God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you would like to let us know you were here, follow the link below to connect. To participate in worship through giving, you can give online at fumcbentonville.org or on Venmo at fumcbentonville. FUMC Bentonville welcomes all. Because we believe the communion table is God's table, we invite everyone into our church family. We welcome and celebrate every race, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, age, physical and mental ability, national origin, economic station, and political ideology. We come together in action and outreach, aspiring to follow Jesus' example of radical hospitality, love, and grace as a transformative movement in our community. Please join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., both in person and on Facebook Live. All are welcome, and we'd love to have you with us. Grace and peace.